again.
Hey, Ali, how good of a singer are you?
Not very good.
Not very good? Uh-uh. Do you know anybody? Who on the floor is a good singer? Oh. Sarah Pepper
Leroy?
Or anybody?
Leroy
on the hallway,
yes.
Maybe.
Is he really?
Yeah, maybe our receptionist.
See, he has videos and stuff, yeah.
Paul's doing great songs. He's really up to the ante in terms of some of these pre-produced things. But we're worried that, like, if every song is a Paul Gallant song, people might get bored of it. So we want to just... The songwriting is very, very good.
The singing's horrible, right?
Well, it's
I think it's part of the appeal.
It's not horrible, but if we're going to play it every day, we might want to get somebody that has like a legitimately good singing voice.
It's like the difference between professional porn and amateur porn. Like, you can clearly tell a difference, but I still appreciate your singing voice.
Yeah, but sometimes the realness of it is more... Anyway.
This is a good point.
Like,
yeah, that's
Paul's
why there's
real
an appeal.
Voice is... yeah, that's got the appeal to it, that it's not as professional.
Not going to lie, destroying my self-confidence this morning.
Well, no,
everybody seems okay with it except Seth.
No, I'm fine with it. Paul was already you were already insecure about it. I think it's great. I think it's fine. I'm just saying, for variety's sake, sometimes it's even funnier when you have somebody like with a professional
voice. I agree. I almost just want to sit back and let a songbird take my song and take it into flight.
But yeah.
I can't do it. I can't carry this weight anymore.
I think the DWI attorney.com text line has been too critical.
Yeah,
you
know what, DWIattorney.com text line, all of you, you all suck. Come at me with some more of your terrible moon conspiracy theories, you morons.
Thanks, Ali.
Good job, Ali.
Rubes.
We are into the 9 o'clock hour. Seth Payne went on the Twitter show of our old friend Matt Hammond to discuss hot Texans opinions, hot Texans thoughts.
There was, the first one he hit me with, because we've noticed this. Matt Hammond took a hiatus from sports, like, for what? 3, 4, 5 months. It seemed like he wasn't really doing much. He was kind of Zero Dark 30 on Twitter.
He went. He became a lumberjack, and he found himself, and now he's back. He got a nice solace away from. Excuse me. A sabbatical away from the online world, where things can sometimes get hot and heavy.
Yeah.
Even vicious.
So I went on, and the first question he asked me on Twitter, and so he wasn't necessarily making this statement, but he said, are the Texans built to beat the Chiefs and Patriots in the playoffs? And I thought, Matt, what are you talking about? And I might get this wrong, but the gist of it was that because they're good against the run and because they run the ball heavily, that maybe going up and playing up north, they might actually be better suited to beat those teams in the cold than those teams are at home. That the Patriots, the Chiefs especially, very pass happy, don't have Kareem Hunt. Are they actually more beatable now in the cold weather by this Houston Texans team? My answer would be, I like the theory, I like the philosophy, except that the Texans don't really have a good running offense as much as they just run the ball a lot.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, with the Texans run game is like trying to saw through a log with a dull saw. Like, you're going to get it eventually as long as you keep sawing, but it's not a particularly sharp saw you're sawing with.
I want to make a point about the running game. I think sometimes people struggle to fully explain how good or bad or whatever when something is, like, inconsistent, when sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's bad, and the running game is kind of like that. Because, you know, McClain, we had the debate last week with Seth and John about the running game and how good or not it was, and my thing on the running game is if you take an honest look at this football team, here's what you see. There are times where they run the ball genuinely really well. For example, in the first couple series against Washington, where they had a full offensive line healthy, they ran the ball well. The first half against Tennessee, they were shredding those guys. I mean, there were wide open holes. I mean, they were not just the 97-yard run. Like, they were genuinely taking those guys apart. But the problem is then the second half comes, and it's kind of like now all of a sudden you feel like you're stuck in mud. And what that means is it's inconsistent. Yep. It's not horrible, but it's not that good.
It's average, right? And I just, yeah. Like, and which means that can you hang your hat on it? And what happens when you can't run and then you're forced to pass? Can you take advantage of it? We really haven't seen the Texans string it together like that in a way that you feel really good about versus good teams. And this is where I am with the Texans. Like, I'm relatively okay with where they are right now. I don't need them to make a push for the Super Bowl for me to feel good about the team. I'd love it. It would be awesome. I'm just growing increasingly pessimistic that they're going to go deep into the playoffs. But if they win a wild card game with a second-year quarterback who's still very much a raw quarterback, and they've got $70 million. Wait, they're going to have at least $50 million under the cap right now. maybe even more. They've got the sixth most cap space in the league. Like, they're going to actually be able to come back, I think, a substantially improved team next year.
Yeah, definitely. And going into the year, I kept saying they'd be a frustratingly frisky team. I figured they'd be 9-7. They're not frustrating that much anymore. I mean, they're a 9-7. They're not a 9-7 team. They're better than that. They're a frisky team, but that does not mean that they are making a Super Bowl run. And I think that if we all accept that, it's really all about, okay, well, how does the process complete itself? Because this is a two-year thing. You can't fix an offensive line in one offseason. This offensive line is not good. I understand that they're doing a pretty good job, but they're not very talented. And then from a secondary standpoint, I mean, you know, you got Sharice Wright playing corner. You don't know who Aaron Colvin, what his purpose is.
Yeah.
And after that, like, these are the big issues that are ultimately going to bite them in the ass and end their season. But along the way, you can definitely enjoy it. They are ahead of schedule. They are further along than I thought they would be this season. I feel like you can be happy about that.
You know what? Okay, let me dial it back a little bit, though, because Matt's theory was that they might be suited in those cold weather games to play well. Kansas City has an awful run defense.
Yeah.
The Patriots are not that great against the run either this year.
No, they've been pushed back very often.
So I guess you could make the case that they could control the clock and keep it a much closer game and turn it much, and especially if it's colder and windier and you take the passing element out of it, and the Texans have a quarterback who can run well, the Patriots don't. The Chiefs, I think Pat Mahomes can turn water into wine, so I'm not going to say anything's going to slow him down. So he might have something there. There might be more to it than I first acknowledged.
I mean, listen, could they hang in a game that's like tight and not that high scoring? Of course they can, but if you're asking me like the Hammond premise of, okay, are they built to beat the Patriots or Chiefs? Well, I would say no, from the standpoint that, like, the Bears would be a team that would be built to beat the Chiefs on a really good day, right? Because they've got arguably the best defensive player in the NFL in Mac. They've got Akeem Hicks, who's terrorizing quarterbacks, and they have a secondary that's really good. And they killed the Rams on Sunday night. They put the hammer down on one of the two or three best offenses in the NFL. That's a team that, like, is built, that feels it's like it's more built to beat one of those offenses, to me.
To an extent, because you still have to factor in their offense, and I understand that they looked really good defensively and they can shut them down, but to ask them to do something like that defensively every single week is also asking a lot.
I agree.
Jared Goff threw four interceptions in that game, and he looked horrible in that one. I feel like, you know, if you're a team like the Bears or the Cowboys, you are going to have weeks where even if your defense plays well, the other team is still going to score like 21 points or something like that. And can your offense put up the necessary points? Dallas, maybe. With Chicago, I don't think so. Like, unless they're giving Tariq Cohen the ball 40 times a game because he's the only good player on their offense, then I just don't see it happening.
On the DWIattorney.com text line, fourth and rushing, not good enough for Seth Payne. Don't be fooled by the rushing stats all year.
Shut up!
Hold on. The Texans actually aren't good running the ball. No, that's right. I'm actually looking at the stats from all year. I'm including the first half last week where you clown weren't even watching the game. Did you see Lamar Miller with negative yards rushing? Like, did you watch the actual game? Have you watched the Texans run the ball when they need to run the ball and how mind-numbingly frustrating it is? Yes, I've watched the games. Look, by some stats, they're actually a lower 25% of the league rushing offense. Like, so if you look at more than just the accumulated stats, their average yards per carry is very middle of the road. Don't sit here and pee in my face and tell me it's raining. This is nonsense. You're an idiot if you go by that overall rushing stat to prove that the Texans are a good rushing offense.
Exactly. This texter's a moron because he always just ends every single text with yawn, yet he continues to listen. Look, you moron. This team has Lamar Miller as their starting running back. Nothing against Lamar Miller, but we all know that Lamar Miller is not one of the better running backs in the league. We all know that the offensive line is not one of the better offensive lines in the league. Okay, one, two. What else can we go with here? Dude, if you're putting stock into yardage, you just don't get anything. You don't get sports, period. If you think that yardage actually matters, you do not know a damn thing about the NFL. People that act like passing yards are a big deal, you know what? Go hump your statistics and because of your fantasy football love elsewhere. Yards do not matter anywhere. It's all about yards per attempt, yards per carry, but we're talking about total yards. Shut the hell up.
Listen, Matt, I'm going to have to argue that and say that all yards matter.
Ha 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 ha!
Did you mean to say that?
All you're doing is arguing that some yards matter. All yards matter.
Paul echoes exactly what I would say in just a much more aggressive way. Like, here's the thing.
That texter sucks.
Here's the thing about
block him.
Here's the thing about rushing yardage.
He's kind of a troll, though. He's got to roll with it. Nah, let him make you angry, but he knows what he's doing.
It's a counting stat. It is a counting stat. It's not like a per game. It's not an effective. It is a total stat. And Paul is right. When you analyze sports, teams don't look at it that way. Here are two other stats for you. Bill Barnwell. The Texans are 24th in the league in win expectancy, added by its running game, the worst mark in the league for a team with a winning record. I know that's kind of a weird stat. Here's a more basic one. 20% of their runs have turned into first downs. 20%. That is the fourth worst mark in the NFL. Like, that is about as simple as it gets. This is not to say that the running game is awful, because I don't think it is. And I think that we're looking at, let's see, a 13-game sample size. I think they were much worse early in the season than right now. Other than this Sunday, I think the running game has been better. But the point is, it's not good. It's not a good running game. They have to prove to be a good running game.
And look, they run hoping that it'll open things up for Deshaun Watson in the passing game. And to an extent, it has. But it's not going to happen every single week. And to look at the numbers and say, wow, well, look what they've done thus far this season. To me, it's the same as a couple of years ago, looking at the defense and the yardage that they gave up and acting like that means that they're definitively the best defense in the league, which is inaccurate. I mean, and that's one of the big issues I have.
Great point.
With yardage. Yardage really does not matter a whole lot. It's all about what you're doing on a play-to-play basis. The Texans run the football more than anyone.
As far as accumulated yardage, when you start to break it down into yards per carry, and
it's about passing. It's all about yards per attempt, and running. It's all about yards per carry. But we act like totals are a big deal, and I don't understand that.
That's what the because when was it? Was it 2 years ago where the Texans were a good defense in total yardage allowed? And it's just, but like 10th in scoring defense.
I think 2 years ago.
Scoring defense is what matters.
Exactly. Yeah.
You have to account other things into it, but points matter a hell of a lot more than yards.
And that defense was a really good defense, but when people in the offseason are like, the number one defense in the NFL, I'm like, oh my God.
Calm down.
Just stop. Like, it's good. It's really good, but it's not the best in the league. Like, just be honest with your own team.